Hello and welcome to a special edition of Authors Access Live. This program was recorded in front of a live audience on November 9th, 2008 at the 5th annual Essence of Motown Literary Jam Weekend at the Southern Fires Restaurant in Detroit, Michigan. For more information on the Motown Writers Network, please visit www.essenceofmotown.com. Authors Access Live is brought to you by www.authorsaccess.com. Our talk featured today is entitled QuickBooks for Publishers with Edna Washington.
So, good morning. Edna Washington, Washington Consultants, accounting and computer consulting. And so this morning I'll be sharing regarding the uses of QuickBooks for publishers. I titled it QuickBook Uses with Publishers in Mind, but really that's for publishers, writers, authors, the whole area here. And so just as a background for myself, I've been in the accounting field, and I don't want to date myself too badly, but at least 20 years. And Washington Consultants is an offshoot of another company, Pickett & Associates, which was the same type business. I know people say, okay, you're in accounting, you do QuickBooks, are you insane? So I understand accountants work out of a different area of their brain, so I'm okay with realizing that. And the information that I'll share will be the facets of QuickBooks in terms of what it can do with helping you with your business. And what I realize is that a lot of times businesses don't necessarily, or writers, as I begin to learn, don't necessarily take what they do as a business. I'm going to help you to realize that everything as relates to your income needs to be recorded and things of that nature. But what I want to share before really getting into the material is this, a few things that I just really generally like to start any kind of presentation with. A positive affirmation and just something to give you to think about. And for me today, that's this. You will only be remembered in life by the problems you solve and the ones you create. You will only be pursued for the problems you solve. The problem that infuriates you the most is a problem you are assigned to solve. Your success is determined by the problems you solve for others. So we all have skills that we can help other people solve their problems. And for me, that is helping businesses to realize what's important for their business to help them take their business to another level. A couple things that probably have already been passed out. I have some resource material beside the actual presentation material. The part of what QuickBooks does is to help you prepare for tax time. So the IRS has a really nice virtual DVD regarding information as a tax purposes for small businesses. So that's one of the resource materials that I have. Also, I believe we'll be giving away some of the QuickBooks software. I have a few of those to share and to give for you all that perhaps don't already have an accounting system for your business. You'll at least have the software so that you can take a look at it. This is a live software that this is not a trial version that after 30 days you can't get back into it, or it says, you know, no more uses. The QuickBooks Simple Start is one that if you don't have an accounting system or you're still using the trusty Excel to keep up with everything. Okay, I see a head nod. Okay, well, let me make sure. Now, Excel is fine for what, you know, for some basic, but when there's a software like, and no, I'm not paid by QuickBooks or anything like that to endorse their software or anything like that. It's just that in my working with clients, and it's one that I've seen that really helps businesses, has a learning curve that's relatively low, in that you don't have to, even if you don't have an accounting background, it's a software that you can use. As well, I used to train on Peachtree software, but it's a little more cumbersome in learning. So QuickBooks is just one that I've really worked with so closely because of its ease of use and the ease of use at which you can train people on. So I'm just going to jump right into the material. QuickBooks uses, you can, for tracking your income, for recording your expenses, for preparing financial statements, as well as it helps you prepare for tax time. QuickBooks has, in one of the areas of when it's being set up, you develop a chart of accounts. You can, each line for your chart of accounts, you can determine what line that is associated with on your tax return. So it makes it easy for use for when tax time comes. Now, I know a lot of people at the end of the year, they'll wait, you know, you might have your receipts. And if you're used to Excel, you may be also one of those that just have the receipts in the box. And then, oh, no. And then you wait until the end of the year to put everything together. Is that what you, what's your name? I'm sorry. I don't want to pick on you, but you nodded your head and you kind of got my attention. Okay. So with QuickBooks, you can hopefully, as you go along in its use, from month to month, from day to day, as you have activity as it relates to income from your royalties or expenses for events like this and other professional development, then you can record those items and be able to, at the end of the year, you know, your financial statement, your line items for your tax return will already be completed. But the major good part about it is if you are keeping up with your materials, your expenses, which I'm going to cover some specific items that you'll want to be aware of that you can keep up with. As you go along, if you are keeping up with your items as you should, you can look at a financial statement every month. Now, that's a good, that's the best practice, best idea, so that you can determine what needs to be done, what changes may need to be enacted so that, oh, you might be spending a little too much in some areas. And so the good thing about looking at the financial statements is that you can look at them from the standpoint of your expenses as a percentage of your income. So if a particular area is, if let's just say office supplies, for example, is 50% of your income, you're like, okay, well, I'm spending too much on this. So any particular area, I just use that area as an example, but any particular area, you can determine based on looking at your financial statements that you're not spending, overspending in a particular area. So it's good that you, because the different reports that you can generate, you are able to tweak them in terms of what you need for your particular business. So I'm going to just cover as it relates to, we talked about briefly about just the general uses of it in terms of being able to track your expenses, to record your income, to provide for your financial statements as well as the tax returns. But a lot of times what you don't perhaps think about are the specific expenses that you can record. But what you really need to realize is that as it relates to income, income for you as a writer, author, publisher would be any income that is generated, any income or payments received for articles, if you write articles for your publishing, for ghostwriting, for script writing. I think I talked to someone in one of the events yesterday that was in the process of writing a script for. And so all those, whatever income from all of your activities. Now, what's also important is that people probably don't realize, from time to time, you may exchange services with others, and people have probably really gotten out of the use of the service of bartering, but even the exchange should be considered as income. So that's probably really important to know. So as for your expenses, and in the materials toward the back of the packet, there's a list of various expenses that you'll want to take a look at that are important, that maybe you don't think about some of the things. And so a couple of, like, you, for the professional fees and dues, your association dues or credentials, or maybe you belong to a lot of different organizations, those fees, as it relates to, it's in line with you performing your duties and in your job, business, or whatnot. So those expenses are ones that you'll want to keep track of. Professional association, continuing education, as you go down kind of on that list. your reference materials, maybe things that you don't think about that perhaps you've purchased information that are resources for you writing your book or article or in your publishing. So those resource materials that you purchase, you'll want to, I keep up with, maybe it's just a habit in terms of because as an accountant, that's what I do, but I keep up with, you name it, and I have a receipt for it, there's a place for it. So, I mean, that's a really good, my husband's nodding. Oh, I apologize, I didn't. I got jumped right in and I got a little excited here, probably. But I just wanted to introduce my husband, Stevie Washington. And I'm just really...
Stevie?
Jonathan, probably. Thank you for doing this. Well, thank you. But it's just, as we... The receipts I got off because I introduced my husband and he kind of just takes my attention away from everything. But so the receipts, I keep a receipt. If there's a receipt for something, then you need to keep up with it. A lot of times you don't think about receipts for the purchase of most items that you as relates to your business, but one thing in particular as it relates to the use of your car, that's a big expense, and a lot of times people don't think about the use of keeping up your receipts for your gas that you purchase as it relates to you can use that expense, the percentage with which you use your car. So for example, if you use your car for 50% for business use and then 50% is personal use, those receipts, as you keep up with your gas and the other expenses for the use of your car, then you can take 50% of those expenses because you use your car 50% for business. So that's probably a lot of times people don't think about that. Oh wow, I use my car, I'm here, I'm there, I'm cross town and all that. So you can use those, and a lot of times even keeping up with your mileage, you can, they have Staples, Office Max makes it really easy for you to keep up with your mileage. So they have a mileage book. And if you don't have and you're still trying to get to the point of being able to use the software, we're going to get you past using that Excel and we're going to help you out. But if, you know, you really need to pay attention to everything that you can think of. I mean, and the IRS allows for expenses that they consider reasonable. You know, nothing lavish. We're not talking about, taking a trip to Tahiti and saying that's a business expense unless you actually are performing business there, you know. So they really are going to look at your expenses, something that's, you know, out of line with your industry. So, you know, you think about, well, okay, I can just put this expense on here. Yeah, I know this kind of looks a little outrageous, but the IRS has the plan in terms of for per industry, they can tell what's in line for industry. So if you send in a tax return and say, okay, I have this outrageous amount of expenses for your industry, and you know they've benchmarked and they've researched industries, and as tax returns have come in, now they have an average per se, let's just use that as an example, that for income as well as the expenses for any particular industry. So it's not like you make and you know might get away with it, but let's not take that chance, because once if there's a flag and something raises an eyebrow for them, then they're going to look at you're going to be audited. So we can avoid that from the beginning. You don't want to, you know, put yourself in a bad position. So what the IRS, and I consider it the test that the IRS says for if your expenses are deductible. Again, they say those which are, and I have that as a one of the items here. Those deductible expenses are those which incur in connection with your trade, business, or profession. They must be ordinary and necessary, so nothing that would be considered unnecessary for your type of trade or business. And again, it must not be lavish or extravagant under the circumstances. So that's the IRS test. When they're looking at what your expenses are, what you're reporting for your expenses, then they're going to look at, okay, well, is it necessary? Is that outstanding in terms of, is that a lavish expense or idea that, you know, someone could have this type of expense at this amount? So they're going to look at those things. And so already briefly, I've talked about keeping receipts for everything. So with that, it's really important. And the use of those receipts that you have is what you're going to use as your source document for putting the information into QuickBooks software. So you'll have your receipt for your purchase of office supplies. And once the software is set up properly, and that's where I come in, with helping you set up a chart of accounts, the expense items and income line items that's necessary for what you do, then moving forward, you'll have a line item for whatever expense. Again, previously I mentioned only briefly, for example, office supplies. Well, you'll have an office supply expense. So when you go to Staples or wherever it's for materials, then you can record that at for your office expense item. And as you continue to go along, then with keeping up with those receipts, so as you've created use the receipts to record your items, now you can produce your financial statement, and then moving forward, you can also, again, as I mentioned briefly, help in terms of creating your tax return at the end of the year. Does anybody have any questions? I know I'm going. Thank you so much for the time. Yes.
When it came to car expenses, I was under this impression it was always you could itemize your proportion of actual expenses or your mileage, but not both.
Right, you can.
In cents per mile?
Right.
But you'll want to, once you determine which one, most times you can determine whichever is higher. So if all of your expenses in terms of the use of your car repair or higher than your miles based on that mileage percentage, you get so much per mile, then you'll want to use those. Thank you for bringing that up. You'll want to use the one that's higher. However, once you've designated which one you're going to use, then you have to maintain at staying at that one. So if you've determined that the expenses for the use of your car rather than the mileage is a higher rate, you know, higher expense value, then you'll want to continue with that.
So we choose one method of a write-off this year. Next year, we have to use the same one.
Yeah, because it'll raise some eyebrows as it relates to that particular thing. So you'll want to be real. Now, unless you're using, you know, like traveling, you know, out of town a lot and use your car for, you know, and you know that you have a lot of miles that you use on your car, then that's probably going to be the best way for you to go in terms of using mileage. Now, the thing with that, however, is you want to be careful that you have designated which part of those are commuter miles and which are actually your miles for, you know, that's not like if you're leaving your home and going to a site, then those particular miles are your commuting miles, as opposed to leaving one site of work performance and then traveling to another site. So you'll want to be aware of separating out your actual commuting miles. And thank you. I wanted to have at least more information than I wanted to be able to raise some questions, but I kind of jumped right in things. But if you have any questions and questions that maybe things that I haven't answered.
I was just wondering about barter. If I collect, let's say $100 worth of barter revenue, I can't really deposit that. How does that go?
Well, that's just like with, I'll use this example that, for example, in nonprofits, they use the in-kind donation time. Someone comes in and volunteer. There's a value associated with that exchange. So you still, I know that's you haven't actually deposited that value, but you've obtained that value because I give you hours of my time and in exchange for your script.
Sure.
For example, whatever. We have to, the value that's associated with that still has to be reported. So I know that's something that you kind of have to wrap your mind around. But yes, you haven't actually deposited that value in your account. But when you're looking at the total value of your business or line of work, then that still has to be considered.
Okay.
Can we give it
good
Authors Access Live is a production of AuthorsAccess.com. Thank you for listening to our podcast. I'm your host, Victor Volkman. Please send your questions and comments to us by email to info@AuthorsAccess.com. Authors Access is where authors get published and published authors get successful. Be sure to check out our new book, Authors Access, 30 Success Secrets for Authors and Publishers, from Modern History Press.